broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I would love to have another dog in the future. You know, I think it would be a big step for me.
I have just two words for you, my colleague.
It hurts. Like I said, they don't know me.
And if they do get presents, usually it's pretty practical. So
we must be ready all the time for the atomic bomb.
That is a threat.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where through the looking glass we go to places other talk shows wish they could but can't. Time Magazine names their Person of the Year. We'll talk about it tonight with Mr. Steve Bozell of Corona, California. The Person of the Year is Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg, who I do not believe has hit his 30th birthday, a multi-billionaire, and Mr. Bozell, pushing 40, has an issue with that. We'll talk with him tonight about that. McDonald's gets hit with a lawsuit for marketing the Happy Meal to kids. Why, they should be marketing it to who? Hobos? I don't know, but they're being they're being sued for that. Plus, the top 10 Twitter trends in 2010. Top 10 Twitter trend. Check it out. Top 10 Twitter trends in 2010, baby, tonight. On a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Steve Bozell will be with us, as I mentioned, next hour. We also have Robert Greene joining us, and Bob is going to be talking to us about this very difficult holiday season. He's an employer. He is the CEO of Fraser Foods. He's got a lot of people in his employ, and a lot of employees, fortunately working people, are still going to be hurting. We're going to talk a little bit about that with him. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight on WCFO 1160 AM in Atlanta and WNTZ 1330 AM in Rockford, Illinois. And PhilHendryShow.com right now, our store is wide open, so you can pick up the series of our classic best of CDs. They're all on sale in time for Christmas. We've got double CD sets. We have single CD sets. And this is all archival, legacy Phil Hendry Show material containing some of your favorites and mine. So check it out over there at PhilHendryShow.com. Get a backstage pass while you're at it, because you can take part as radio history continues to be made here on our show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, and Robert Greene joining us tonight from home. Bob, I understand you're not feeling very well. I hope you're okay.
You know, Phil, it's a little bit of a flu bug, and I think it was a stomach flu, and I hope it wasn't anything that I ate from my store. I don't think it was. We had a pretty hectic weekend, and my daughter is here, and her husband, and I've got a brand new grandbaby, so, and they're going to be here for the duration of the holiday month. So we're really happy to have them. And
did you get some Christmas shopping done?
Oh, we did. We went out earlier this week, and we got a lot of it done. We're going to go out and get a little bit more done. We've got the tree up, and we are very fortunate. We've got a lot of room here where you know, my daughter and her husband and the kids can all stretch out. We've got a lot of space, and so we're going to look forward to it. And of course, we've got some friends visiting from back east as well on the weekend. So it's going to be a pretty busy house. And in the middle of that, of course, we've got a business to run.
And to that end is why we're talking with you tonight, because there's so many people are not going to be having a traditional Christmas because of the economy. It sounds to me, first of all, that like you're going to have one, which is wonderful.
We are, Phil, and we're very blessed. We're going to have a traditional Christmas this year, as we have had for quite a few years. But that was the result of, you know, a lot of hard work and building up a business and being able to have this for myself and for my family. It feels good, and we're very grateful that we have it. I know there's a lot of people that are hurting, and they won't have a traditional Christmas, but I like to think that because we are going to have a traditional Christmas, and we're going to have a tree and have all the trimmings, and I'm fortunate that I've got enough money for, you know, Christmas presents for my kids and for my grandchild. I'm fortunate enough that we live in a very big house, and we live near the beach.
Do you live on the ocean?
We do. We have a home that is actually in Laguna Beach, so we're right above the beach here. And
so you that's lovely there, isn't it?
And it is. It's very lovely. And unfortunately, I'm able to afford domestic help. We have a young Latin Hispanic woman that comes in, and she's going to be with us throughout the Christmas season, so she'll be on call 24 hours in case we need her for whatever.
Does she live at the house?
We do have a quarters for her, and we're hopeful that she can be in her home, and then we could call her and have her get over. Having her staying here with us, my daughter and her husband are not familiar with that sort of an arrangement. So,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so nosy.
No, no, it's okay.
I wonder what it's like to have a live-in domestic. I've seen people who do that, you know, a couple times a week. And so, you know, isn't it funny that we're talking about this because of the economy that we're having?
Well, it's a down economy.
What do you do with all of your employees and with the people who are working for you? You have checkers, you have stalkers, you have so many people working in the back, butchers and people who handle the seafood and, you know.
We've got a lot of people in a lot of different departments, Phil. That's absolutely right.
What do you say to them? Have you had to lay a lot of people off?
Well, we had to lay off a couple of people only because we did not anticipate the drop-off that happened here at the holiday season. So we did have to lay off one young lady. Actually, we laid off two checkers, and we're probably going to have to lay off two girls in the bakery. Because it hasn't been quite as busy as it was leading up to the holiday season. But I have asked these young people when I lay them off, I asked this one girl, Carolyn, if when I told her I was going to lay her off, but I wanted to lay her off in front of the other employees. And the reason why I wanted to do that is to show them that you can go through these tough things with a little bit of dignity and class. And so I asked her, when I lay you off, I would appreciate it if you would thank me for the opportunity to work here, and would ask me for if I will actually, you know, hire you back, and show a level of graciousness to the other employees.
Now, she knows she's going to be laid off.
That's correct.
And so when you laid her off, she asked you to please hire her back when you can.
That is correct, yes. And I also asked her to thank me for the opportunity. Why? Because that is an example to the other employees on how to have dignity and class, even when you're losing your job. The other thing that I do, Phil, is I'm very, very lucky. I just bought a Mercedes 600. And I have taken to parking it closer to the store so that when the young people come in the morning, my employees come in the morning, and people are leaving at night, they see, well, that's what Mr. Green drives. And that's what I want to drive someday. And so I want them to see what I drive.
So that they're inspired by it.
So they're inspired by it. And when I do lay people off, they have dignity. And when I do give them a paycheck that perhaps is a few dollars less than it was 6 months ago, well, we had to cut back here. We had to cut back. When I give them a paycheck,
can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Well, and our number is 877-876 Phil. We're talking to Robert Green about these tough times as an employer. How do you deal with employees? And Bob is talking with us about how to, you know, take laying off being with dignity. Putting his Mercedes out front. You put your Mercedes out front so they can see.
Well, so they can, you know, fantasize about, you know, maybe owning one day if they get enough money. The odds are long. It's probably not going to happen with, you know, bagging groceries. It does happen. It does.
Well, they're the rare people.
Yeah, you're right. But it's not anything that is going to, I don't think anything that you can, I'm going to say, okay, well, I'll park my Mercedes out here. But at least they can see it, and they can imagine, you know, maybe someday I'll park. ballet or...
I wanted to ask you a question. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Robert Green. When you have an employee who is when you have the money that you have, and you're giving in some instances you're having to give people pay cuts. And I know that I don't know a lot about business. And do you yourself take a pay cut?
Well, I tell you what, I have a corporation, obviously, Phil. We are a company, and then we pay ourselves salaries. So I take a salary like everybody else. The corporation has the money in it, but the money in the corporation is used either for my retirement or it's used for capital investment. It's used for, if we were publicly held, which we're not, dividends or however much money. I'm not really sure how it works, but... you asking me if I've taken a pay cut, I haven't taken a pay cut because it wouldn't make much difference if I took a pay cut.
What about the idea of you taking a pay cut maybe to keep some people employed?
I've heard that kind of argument where they say, well, if the rich guys took a pay cut, then we could keep a few more people online. It's not that simple.
I don't know the numbers.
No, I'd be happy to tell you how much money I make. I'd be happy.
How much in salary?
In salary, I earn $500,000 a year.
And what about bonuses?
Well, the bonuses are. See, that's a different. You asked me the salary.
Well, with bonuses, how much money do you make?
I'm not really prepared to talk about that. I thought you asked me about salary.
All right, salary, $500,000 a year. So let's say you took a pay cut of $50,000 a year. That's all. Isn't that a whole? Wouldn't that be a whole year's salary for some people?
It would be a whole year's salary for possibly one or two of our people, maybe a checker, but it would be an insult to me and to them. I think I'll take a pay cut just so I can keep one person on, and they're going to say, well, so I'm taking charity, you know. And
well, no, if you're taking a pay cut and you're keeping someone on, why do you call that charity?
Because that's exactly what it is. That person would rather have that job as a result of real profit-making as opposed to a charity case. If you knew, Phil, a little bit about our business, corporations, and the complexities of owning and running a business, I think you'd probably understand, and I think your listeners would. I can't really run a business school right now, you know.
All right, hold the line. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm just curious, if he's a CEO of a company, and he is, and I know that the times are tough, and he's had to cut salaries, and he's had to lay people off. He himself has a good life, and he parks his Mercedes in an area where people can see that this is the life you can have if you work hard. But practically speaking, if he took a $50,000 a year pay cut, he could keep someone employed. Mr. Green says, however, that would be an insult to that person because it's like charity. This is really this whole discussion of the big guys taking a pay cut to keep the little guys working. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And the idea of parking a Mercedes out front, this is what the boss drives. Would that inspire you? Would you say, wow, if I work hard enough, someday I'll get to maybe park one of those? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Well, that's not what I said. You completely destroyed it.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. Robert Green, often on our program to talk about the economy and jobs. Mr. Green runs Fraser Foods, a large grocery chain in the U.S. Southwest and Southeast. And we'll take your phone calls for Bob Green as well. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bob, and if my math is bad, and I understand what you're saying, you know.
Well, it's just that I don't run, and I'm not trying to be a smart mouth, Phil, but I don't run a business school here. You got to understand. For me to explain the intricacies of making the salary that I make, $500,000 a year, and not being able to afford a woman who's $10 an hour, you would call that, probably you would call me callous, but Do you understand something?
That you're paying them $10 an hour. I thought a checker would make more than that.
Well, I think that's a very good salary.
You think $10 an hour is 21 grand a year? That's, you know, that doesn't, you can't live on that, can you?
Can you? People do, and that's what the salary is. I need to explain something to you, Phil. You know, we have this thing now called self-checkout, and I'm sure you've seen it. Do you use it?
Yes, I do.
There you go. So you use self-checkout, so you are in a way responsible for the people that I've got to put on the street. And
no, wait. You know.
No. Wait. That's what you did.
No, I didn't do anything, but what I'm asking is, why can't you take a $50,000 a year pay cut and, I guess, split it between two checkers?
Because it doesn't make any sense when I've got self-checkout. The other thing is that I can take one person and work them on two registers, and that is a way of saving a salary. It doesn't make any sense for me to give out charity, and that's what you want me to do. And, Phil, I love my employees. I love them very dearly. I love them enough to tell them, you see that self-checkout machine? And I did that with my checkers earlier this year. I said, look at this self-checkout. See this? I said, this is what people can choose to do. And if they're going over here and they're not going to you, I said, we're going to have some problems. And
well, that must have made them feel terrible.
No, it toughens people up and lets them know what the challenge is.
And meanwhile, you laid off a couple of people. I don't know.
But that is the reality. And you yourself said you use it.
I use self-checkout only because I don't want to stand in line.
Well, I don't want to put it that way, but I have to. You just put two people on the street. Not you specifically, but people like you.
So self-checkout is not good for checkers?
Well, I guess not. You know, look, no, how could you say it is good?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me take a phone call here. We have Trina. Hi, Trina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I just wanted to say, first of all, what a pompous jerk that you're speaking with this evening. I am surprised this gentleman, by the way he's talking on air right now, if he talks even half as bad like that to his employees, I'm surprised anybody would want to work for him. I'm glad I don't live in that area because I wouldn't be shopping for him.
I wouldn't give you my money.
I wouldn't take my hard-earned money and go in and spend it in a store to where they treat their people the way you're talking about that you treat your people. You know, you can keep those people.
I love my employees, and I said to them, look at my Mercedes. A CL600. It's a $130,000 car. I said, you see that? This car is worth more than the homes you live in.
And what's that supposed to do?
What is that thing?
Yeah.
What do you think that makes you look like?
It tells people, look at what I'll tell you what it makes me look like. They want to be me someday. They want to go up the ladder of success and be me.
But you know what, sir? You're not even offering them the opportunity to even have a job with your company. I mean, you're laying them off. You're buying your expensive car. When you could go out, you could buy a $50,000 car that would be just as good a car, if not better made, as the $130,000 car that you bought, and you're paying your people $21,000 a year. You could pay 300 people the difference.
I can assure you that there's nothing better made than the Mercedes-Benz. Nothing in the automotive world. That's
I beg to differ.
Well, you could, but you'd be wrong. Now, the second thing is that what sense does it make for me to make a lot of money and live like I'm living in a blockhouse with a chain-link fence? You see what I'm saying?
Well,
why would you?
Nobody's asked you to live like that, but there is a point to where you got to realize that excuse me, I listen to you, and what I'm saying is, with the way you're living right now, you know, that doesn't make you look any better. I mean, you're really living above what you really should be living, and you're making those poor people that work for you,
Them
people that's working for you, them people that's working for you,
excuse me,
the people that's working for you probably can't even go out and buy groceries.
Do you propose communism? That's what you're proposing, communism. You're proposing communism.
But you're very rude.
All right. I think what you got to listen to the callers, Robert.
No, but what the lady is proposing is a socialist state. To the worker goes the means. You know what Karl Marx wrote. And I think the lady knows that. She may not be a communist, but she doesn't know what she's saying, because what she's proposing is a class war against me and what I got. Ain't that right?
But, sir, did you have to have $130,000 Mercedes? Do now they not make lesser models than that? Did you have to have the biggest car that they make?
So this is the Barack Obama socialism, Phil. You don't need that car. Get a cheaper car so that we have enough money left over for Trina so she could have Mercedes. No, I don't think so.
No, that's not what she's saying. When we're talking about people losing their jobs, though, I wonder if there's something we could do, not compelled by the government, but compelled by our own good sense as business people. Is there something we could do to help keep our people on board?
If the economic model isn't making sense, there's nothing I could do. I could go ahead and cut $50,000 out of my salary, but then I would be angry at myself. And in a lot of ways, Stuart, you have to think of that as a labor problem. To have that kind of self-hatred going into work is in and of itself a labor problem.
Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil, we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Self-hatred.
It's a labor problem.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
With Robert Green from Fraser Foods, the economy, if you have a job, it's good. But being laid off from a job is not good. Not making enough money is also not good. And, Bob, we're talking, you know, and I appreciate you being very candid, because I think it's good. I think it's good to hear the people who are the owners of the companies.
Well, I do too, Phil, and I appreciate you having me on the program.
All right, but these are tough questions. You make a lot of money. You've had to lay off people, even though your own lifestyle hasn't been affected. I understand that you don't want to talk about that. Can you at least address what that last lady said, and we'll get to another phone call about you driving a less expensive car?
Well, Phil, that is a very typical question from people who are unhappy with their current status in life. But this is Barack Obama's America. This is what Mr. Obama has bought for us. People resentful of people being successful.
And you really think this is Obama's fault?
I really do. I really do. I don't think we've ever lived through a presidency of an American president who people now resent other people for being successful. I always thought that was America. I drive a $137,000 car. I'm not going to drive anything that's worth less. Why? Because I earned it. I drive it to work. I park it near the entrance to the building so that my employees can see it, so they know I'm not afraid to show them how much money I have. And on days that I have to lay people off, I will actually point to my car as I'm laying them off. And why do I do that?
That sounds cruel.
No, it's not cruel.
That sounds cruel that you would point to the car.
Yeah, no, it's not. I say, someday you're going to survive this. You see that car out there? I say, right now that car is worth more than probably what you live in, what you call a house. Someday you might have that. So I use that as incentive. Now, number two, 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend Cindy, and she's not a young lady, she's in her 40s, but she's a beautiful woman, and I love her. I just wanted people to know that I don't have some trophy wife. She's a nice girl. She's put on weight, and they all do, and I'm going to have to deal with that. But I bought her a Dolce & Gabbana bag in Las Vegas the way we used to go when we were together, like a few years ago. We'd go to Vegas when she was a little bit, you know, slimmer, and it's a $2,000 bag.
I know.
What do you mean you know?
Dolce & Gabbana bag? It's a $2,000 bag? Yeah, that's a very expensive bag.
Well, she walked into the market with it Monday, and one of the checkers was resentful of the bag. She said, "What is she? Look at that bag. That's Bob's girlfriend." And I heard about this. Do you know that Cindy saved that girl's job? Because I was going to fire her.
And why were you going to fire her?
Because she made a big deal about my girlfriend's $2,000 handbag. But Cindy said, don't do it, because then it's going... She was afraid that she'd be blamed.
I don't know that that story makes either one of you sound good.
No, well, you've got to understand business, Phil.
Well, I mean, a $2,000 bag and someone... I don't know what the lady was commenting on. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to a phone call here tonight. We have Mike in Houston listening on KPRC. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
It's going good. Thank you.
I have to say, I don't agree with this guy one bit whatsoever. As a small business owner myself, employees are the most important assets you could possibly have.
Well, I'm not a small business owner. I'm a large business owner.
No, I would consider you still a small business owner. If your salary is down to $500,000.
Oh, I see. Oh, so here's a guy that thinks I should be taking more out of the company. He thinks I should be taking more out of the company. I own the company. That's the salary I take.
All right. No, let's not quibble about that. So
well, anyway, Mike, you know, through one side and down the other, it really doesn't matter.
The fact is, we've got 25 stores in the Southwest. We've got 23 stores in the Southeast. That's not a small business any way you cut it.
Well, I'm very proud of you on that. Business owner to right. business owner, regardless of whether you're small business or big business.
Well, you just need to know what a big business is.
Oh, no,
okay,
I,
we can move
oh, no,
move
I,
past
I've
that, all right?
I've been with big businesses throughout the years. And people like you are actually the reason I started my own business.
I own one. I'm not just with one. I own it.
Right, you own it, okay.
And people like you are the reason that I left big business like that. To go start my own.
All right. I mean, how do you know you weren't doing them a favor?
Yeah. You know,
I'm just responding, sir.
Really,
I mean, you want me...
If you're not going to let me
you
talk,
know you,
what's the point of me being
I'm
on the phone?
I'm letting you talk. I made a comment. That's all. I just said, how do you know you weren't doing them a favor?
Yeah, that's an insult, Bob. That's an insult to this man.
I'm talking business, one businessman to another businessman.
All right, fine.
How do I know,
go ahead, Mike.
How do I know? That's not the reason I'm calling. This is a whole other discussion we could be having right here. My point in calling is that your employees make or break your business. Do they not?
Woo! Yes.
Your product is a very small
but we do have the self-check, the self-checkout thing.
And
so,
you know what? I personally will stand in line for an hour before I go stand in a self-checkout line.
That's
I will not.
But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, sir. There's people that are using it, is what I'm saying. There are people using it.
You're right, but when you go to a Kroger...
Does that make them wrong? Does that make them wrong? Does that make you better than them, sir? Are you being elitist? Are you being elitist now? Does it make you better than them? That they use...
All right, God. Look at... What exactly... I've lost the point of this conversation, Bob.
This guy's coming on and telling me that my self-checkout is somehow commie.
Commie?
No. That's not the point of calling at all.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Not to be rude, Mike, but I just...
Here's the point of what I... Here's the reason
move this guy along, will you, Phil?
September of 09 is when I started feeling the crunch in my business. So the first thing I did... First thing I did in September of 09 was start pulling my own salary back to keep my employees on.
Yeah.
And
that's
I kept my employees on. And through the struggle of all of OCAN, I have kept my employees on. And now that we're starting to pick back up, I still have my employees. I'm getting my business back. Everything's coming back right out.
Right. Well, congratulations.
I'm the one who sacrificed because it's my business. It's not my employees' business. It's my business.
Well, I thought you said your employees were the... You don't have a business without them.
You're absolutely right, and that's why I kept
them. Then it is kind of their business then.
Well, what do you mean by that?
No, I'm just saying what he said. It's their business. But he took credit for it, and I think that that's... don't like that. You know, he's sitting there going, look at me. I took a pay cut. I saved all of your lives, and I want you to. Because I think someday he's going to go to them, and he's going to expect something in return. That's what I just think. I don't know.
You know, you just took what that man said there. It sounded like a very good thing to do in the middle of a very difficult economic time, and you turned it into some sort of blackmail.
I don't know what this guy's going to do in another year to his employees and say, you remember when I took that pay cut? Well, guess what? Time to start giving it up a little around here.
Wow.
Do you know what I do to my employees?
I don't want to know.
Let me tell you what I do to my employees.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know, because if it's illegal...
You know, why would it be illegal?
I don't know if it has something to do with the female... You know, the female employees. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Okay.
What do you do to your female employees?
He didn't say, all right, look at Mike, thanks very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Why would you provoke him?
I'll tell you why I provoked him, because I heard that guy say that the company belongs to his employees, but he took a pay cut, so he's the hero, so they have to thank him. He was dancing back and forth, and I'm worried about that guy. There's something going on where he works, where he's trying to take the credit. I think he's going to line his female employees up one night, tell them all to put on lipstick, and go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And
isn't that nice, huh?
You think I'm kidding?
Yeah, you know what? Whether you're kidding or not, I think that's a hell of an insult to from one businessman to another. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dylan in Queens, New York, listening on WWRL. Dylan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for letting me on. All right, listen. Let's go right to the point. First of all, you say you're going to have a nice expensive car in front of your driveway when you get into work, and you think that's a compliment to your employees, and they're gonna be happy.
Yes, sir.
You just bought that car. That's a $100,000 car. You're insulting your people. Because you're laying off.
Try 137. Try 137,000.
Okay, great. 137,000. You know that's great for you.
Right.
But you're telling people, you know what? I can buy a car. I'm making money, but yet I'm saying that things are bad. I mean, you're insulting your employees. That's not the approach. And then you turn around and you insult this guy who's a business owner. And
right.
Tell him that it's something to do with females? I mean, I'm not sure.
You heard the guy. He was talking about he's going to line him up and put lipstick on him.
He never said anything of the sort. The question this man's asking, excuse me for interrupting, Dylan, but a $137,000 car parked in the parking lot does what?
When I park that car in the parking lot, and what I want to tell this gentleman, I tell my employees, you see that? I know that today the house you live in is worth less than that. But someday.
Well, you have a funny way of showing positive reinforcement or motivating people, because I've had many bosses with hundreds of thousands of cars. I even owned one at one time when I used to make money. But watching your boss buy an expensive car in these conditions and then turn around and lay off people, it's like a spit in the face. It's not, you have your psychology of motivation and influence is just totally off key. That's not the way. You should take a pay cut.
I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky. I admit I'm very fortunate that I'm good enough with a business that I made a lot of money.
And I mean, only
do you hear the man say?
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky that I bought a $137,000 C600 series Mercedes Benz, and I had to lay off two checkers. You're right. Is it my fault that people are using the self check? No. Is it my fault that they're not buying? Well, I don't know what's so funny.
Because I understand your mentality. I think your approach to everything is totally upside down. I mean, why wouldn't you take a pay cut? Why could you be a bigger man, less, just like the gentleman previously who spoke to you, and try it and see how much good you can really do? I mean, are you in the business of doing good, or are you in the business of walking around with a big ego because you wanted to fire an employee because they made a comment about your girlfriend's bag? I mean, you're actually putting
no
it
kidding.
In their face.
Mr. Henry,
I agree with you, Dylan.
Well, I'm sure you do, Mr. Henry, because it makes you feel like a big shot sticking up with your listeners. You don't.
No, it doesn't make me feel like a big shot. I agree with what this man is saying. I mean, all of my life, when I was a little kid all the way on up today, I always used to wonder, how come these guys that make all these big salaries, they got to fire people? I never could figure that one out, you know?
Because I'm the guy that took the risk. I built the company. Now, when Cindy came in with that Dolce Gabba bag, or that Gabbana, I don't know how you pronounce it, she knows. I bought her a $2,000 bag. You know why? Because I could afford to. Did I want her to walk into the store with it? I told her later. And I want you to know this, Dylan. I told her later. I said, and I used some choice words, and I shouldn't have, but I said, you acted like a whore bringing that bag into my store. And
oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous. You know, I don't know how many wealthy people you actually know and actually believe what you're saying, but, I mean, something is really wrong with this picture right here. I work with a lot of wealthy people on Wall Street, and it's funny that not all of them see things the way you do it. And I know a lot of business owners.
Jay Leno was in our store. Jay Leno was in our store two Tuesdays ago, and he's a funny guy, and, of course, I didn't know this. He leaves, and I get a call from Rudy, who's working on the floor. He said, Jay Leno was just here. I said, why didn't you call me? This is a high-profile customer. I want to go down there, and I want to talk to the guy. And guess what? Nobody told me. So I had to fire this guy.
You fired who?
I had to fire Rudy.
Why did you fire him?
Are you guys not listening to me? I got Jay Leno in my store. And
because he didn't come and get you. He got canned.
Yeah.
People,
why does
that make you look in front of Jay Leno?
Jay Leno doesn't know that I fired the guy. Jay Leno is off thinking about something else. 5 seconds after he got out of my store, he doesn't know whether I'm going to live or die.
Saying that on radio, public radio, really shows you. Well, I really don't.
Yeah, exactly, man. You know that Leno may be listening to the show.
Well, I doubt that because guess what? Doesn't he do the Tonight Show right now?
They tape it at around 5:30.
I don't know. All I'm telling you is 5 seconds after he left my store, Jay Leno doesn't know whether I live or die. He doesn't even know he was in a store. He's thinking about something else. But I'm telling both of you guys, I can't afford that. If I don't fire that kid, then people are going to start walking all over me like I'm somebody's, like I'm your grocery bitch.
Let me ask you a question. Did you go to business school?
All right.
What? From your own experience.
What's that?
Did you go to business school? Did you go to a master's degree?
No, not at all.
None of the above?
No, sir.
So you're self-made man.
Self-made man. That's me.
Then you're blessed.
All right.
And I would say you're
exactly. I got to take a break, Dylan. I appreciate your call. I think you made some great comments. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
I've been on your program for 50 minutes, and I have been turned into an animal that people can just throw their feces at. And if you've known monkeys, Phil.
I know about that.
All right. Then, Why have I been criticized? We haven't even brought up the communism angle.
All right, hold the line. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Bob Green in just a moment.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
You don't even want to talk about that.
Well, I do want to talk about that.
Because that's what I think is at the bottom line here.
All right. Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. With me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. As we talked about difficult times during this Christmas season for employees, hard enough for people without jobs, but even if you have a job, your pay is cut back. You don't know how long you'll have that job. And, Bob, you've talked about some incentives that you have built into the work environment at Fraser Foods, but some of them are you parking your Mercedes near the front door, your girlfriend with a $2,000 handbag that she walks to the market with,
Let me ask you, because you have not addressed this, and I feel as if you should. I have been listening to your callers here this last hour, and they have been talking to me about socialism. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about a man not being able to earn a living, and he has to give it back because Obama wants everything all safe and neat. And you know what I mean?
And I haven't heard President Obama's name mentioned once, except for you.
Well, I don't believe that. I've been listening to people. What are you talking about? You've had people.
The only person to mention Obama's name in the last hour is you.
Well, if that's the case, Mr. Henry, your listeners have been on this show talking about communism and socialism, and the fact that if I make this much money, I'm going to give back and so on and so forth.
Nobody is talking to you, by the way, about there being any legislation or any legal, legal arm that sort of forces you to give your money back. They're talking about you as a responsible employer.
No, they're not talking about that at all, Phil. And again, I almost feel a little bit sorry for you because you don't know anything about business. You're talking a lot of, as the kids used to say, you're talking a lot of smack. I know business, and the best way to motivate an employee is to take them outside and say, you see that Mercedes-Benz? Now, do you want that Mercedes-Benz? And the kid generally will go, you know, however they say that. And
Boy, you got a lot of respect for your employees.
Mr. Henry, I have nothing but respect for my employees.
Well,
because that's how a lot of them talk. If you haven't been to... If you haven't had a proper education and you come out of where these neighborhoods are, you're going to go, I say, do you want that? Yeah. Then you have to work for it. And then I'll say, now get in there and get back to work.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We get a chance for one more phone call here. Talking to Robert Greene, we have Stephen Bozell standing by next hour. Dominic in Portland, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir.
I just want to say that I'm really shocked altogether that, on one hand, this guy can say that he cares about his employees, and the other hand, it's like, I'm going to park my car up here, I'm going to make a boatload of money, and you're not really showing anybody anything except really what's wrong with America, and that is that you as the employer can just do whatever you want, and you know, you can fire a guy for not telling you that Jay Leno's there. And if you really cared about your employees,
why am I laughing
then it
at
would
that?
Be more or less, it would be, hey, look, let's try to work together as opposed to I'm going to show you my big car, and you know, you can earn this someday. And if you were a good employer, you would maybe try to take a pay cut, and you would try to keep some of your employees on.
That's socialism. And that's socialism. Yeah, that's socialism.
No, it's not socialism. What it is giving a damn about your employees and making sure that they have a living wage and that you make plenty. You said it yourself that your girlfriend has a bag, and you're even willing to call her a name on the radio because, well, she came in the store and get an interaction with somebody.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Dominic. Good points. The Phil Henry Show. Steve Bozell next. Wow.
Phil Henry.
Boy, that guy's